Saban is going to have a chance at history. Coach Peterson, first time he has lost a top 10 matchup. 24-7 is the final here in the college football playoff semifinal.
Fire those confetti cannons. It is over. That just felt over for a while here in Arizona.
Yep.
Watson throws for 259 and a touchdown. Runs for 57 more and two touchdowns. A quick exchange between two coaches who are good friends. As Thud ends the season for Meyer's team. And Dabo, an Alabama graduate. He's got 2 degrees from Alabama. Was a walk-on wide receiver, a graduate assistant, and an assistant coach for a second career year, goes head-to-head against his alma mater for a title.
It's going to be a rematch for the national championship. Number one, Alabama, taking on number two, Clemson, next Monday night in the college football playoff championship at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. Well, if you're tuned in, congratulations. You made it. It's officially 2017. I have no idea what the hell you're doing awake on New Year's morning in Las Vegas, but I appreciate you. I'm Brian Feldman, and wherever and however you are listening, this is Out of Line. We are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Studio in Las Vegas, and we are streaming on the Las Vegas Sports Network website. You can follow on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM. And when you're on Facebook today posting your New Year's messages, please check out, like, and follow our page, which is called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. Have an opinion on college football playoffs? Maybe feel like congratulating the UNLV basketball team on their win over Wyoming yesterday. The NFL top of your mind? Or if you just feel like spreading some holiday cheer this morning, the Fox Sports, blah, blah, blah. How about the Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340. Please feel free to use it. Producer extraordinaire Magnum will answer your call, wish you a happy new year, and put you on the radio. Speaking of our producer, Mags, even though I'm tired and still wondering why I didn't call out and air a best of show today, like many of my colleagues around the country, based on all the action that took place in the world of sports yesterday, if I can't find an hour worth of a good and pretty damn interesting subject matter, even at 54 years old, it might be time to start thinking about going back to medical school.
Yeah, it's very possible that you should hang it up at that point. Very exciting Friday and Saturday night in the world of sports. Of course, UFC Friday night, and then two, I think, football games that we kind of, well, we thought one was going to go the way it went. I don't know if anybody expected the second game to go the way it did. I mean, I think we all expected Ohio State to put up one hell of a fight, which they didn't. But like you said, if you can't find anything to talk about in this hour, you should just hang it up, man.
Magnum, in my over half a century on this planet, I have concluded there are only three definites. The first two I stole from the movie Rudy. And I'm sure a good number of people might argue, but they'll never win that argument with me. And the third I realized after our very first broadcast, and there's absolutely no debating that one. They are, one, there is a God. Two, I'm not him. And three, 1 hour is not enough time to do a sports talk show on a Sunday morning in Las Vegas.
No, definitely not. Not after the weekend we had. Of course, I forgot to mention the Rebels with a victory yesterday, which caught me by surprise. I was not expecting them to win that game. And I saw Wyoming play two games last week here in Las Vegas at the Orleans Arena. They should have pushed you. They should have beaten USC, who was a top 25 team at the time. And they come back into town, and I was very surprised.
Well, we're definitely going to talk about that, Mags. That's a big part of the show in a little bit. Also, stick around for a shot at a free entry into the Binion's Saturday $10,000 guaranteed poker tournament. I'm going to give you one in a little while if you stick around. And just for being awake this morning, I got to give you something of value. It's New Year's Eve. Well, it's not New Year's Eve. It's New Year's morning, and you made it through New Year's Eve in 2017. Once again, the number to call if you want to get involved is 702-876-1340. The Fox Sports Studio hotline. Well, I got to tell you, Mags, we listened to the beginning of the show. You heard Nick Saban moving on again. The only team, Alabama, to play in all three of the very first three college football playoff series. Clemson has played in the last two, and as we know, Ohio State has played in two as well, the first one and this one. But Clemson looks like a different team than they were last year. Although last year they were pretty damn good, and they gave Alabama all they could handle in the national championship game. I expect nothing different from this year, last year. But, you know, I'm looking at this right now, and what strikes me, you know, first is Washington could get nothing done. We definitely saw the separation between the upper echelon teams and the SEC, which is Alabama, the best team in the country, and Washington. Washington had a very stout defense, and they played well. They, matter of fact, they scored first on a nice little pass, 7-0. You thought it was going to be a game, but eventually Alabama was not going to be denied. And really, when I think the game changed completely and when I knew it was going to be Alabama's game was that interception for a touchdown, Mags, the 11th defensive touchdown for Alabama this year. Pretty amazing. 11 defensive touchdowns for the Alabama Crimson Tide in 2016.
There might be teams in the country who haven't scored 11 offensive touchdowns.
Do you know the team that was second? And I'm really pissed at myself for not writing that down, but the team that was second, Mags, had 7.
Yeah.
That's the disparity between Alabama and everybody else. But I'll tell you, as I look at this game going forward, and again, you know, talking about the game, even though Alabama only had one offensive touchdown through the first three quarters, Alabama's defending national champions and the only team, again, as I had mentioned, to play in all of the first three ever college football playoffs. And until proven otherwise, they are the best team in the country, bar none. And I just don't know. You know, we watched this dominating game by Clemson over Ohio State. Absolutely about as impressive as can be. Dabo Swinney, without question, outcoached Urban Meyer. Without question, outcoached him. And Urban Meyer, in 194 games at his four stops as a head coach, has never been shut out before. As a matter of fact, Ohio State's only been shut out in one bowl game ever, Mags. I don't know if you know this. It was 1922 against California, and I believe it was in the Rose Bowl. They don't get shut out. I mean, this is an embarrassment. I would hate to be a returning player for Ohio State and imagine what their spring camp is going to be like this year after this embarrassment for Urban Meyer. I mean, they could not put a single point on the board. So let's look at this matchup, and we'll check it out as the time goes down. But think about it right now. Alabama, Clemson, who's going to win this game? And we'll talk about that in a little bit because, again, when I talk about the Fiesta Bowl, you know, it's amazing. It really is. And I can't go on. You know, I mean, the bottom line is, when it comes to the D of Clemson, what does that stand for? Does it stand for disruptive, devastating, dominating, even dangerous? That was a display, an absolute display of defense by Clemson against a very, very good Ohio State team, and a quarterback that has a ton of experience, has been chomping at the bit to get back to this game since he was a freshman and couldn't play and missed the last three games, went to the shelf, got injured after playing all season, and he got back, and he was non-existent. Mags, he had a 7.6 quarterback rating. I'm speaking of JT Barrett. Embarrassing. And the bottom line is, Dabo Swinney just really, really, really put it together.
Team effort. Total team effort. You know, you get to this stage, it's talent plus teamwork plus intelligence. Outside of a couple of spots, we played pretty smart all night. We played physical in the trench. We played unbelievable defense. I mean, a shutout against one of the best offenses in the country. Just can't say enough about our defensive pressure. Again, outside of a couple of boneheaded mistakes when they got behind us. And then offensively, you know, we got the best player in the country in number four. And he showed that again tonight. Wayne Gallman, we made some big plays. Just continued to stay with it. We finished a couple of drives that we needed to finish that we didn't finish in the first half. But just a complete team effort. Really proud of our staff. And so happy for Clemson Nation, our fans. You know, back-to-back playoffs, back-to-back national championship appearances. Hopefully we can finish this year.
Mags, I don't know. I don't know if they can finish this year. Nick Saban and Chris Wynn just sent me a text right now. I'll let you hear this because I agree with this 100%. If Nick Saban wins this national championship, he will go down as the greatest college football coach of all time. That's in his opinion. I got to tell you, I don't know how you argue with that. I mean, in Alabama right now, if you could go back in time and you're an Alabama fan and they said, look, you can have either one of them in their primes, Nick Saban or one of the most famous coaches of all time, Bear Bryant, who do you take? Mags, I got to believe that the Crimson Tide faithful right now today would say Nick Saban.
Yeah, and you're probably right about that, only because it's today. You know, I'm one of those people who always says you really can't compare eras, because at that point, college football was completely different. You didn't have the amount of schools playing in Bear Bryant's day that you have today, but you also didn't have the big business of it like it is today. You know, money talks, and Bear Bryant was a football coach first. Nick Saban's a bit of a businessman.
Said it to begin with. It's the times.
Yeah, and
it's much more of a business now than it was when Bear Bryant was the coach, and he could take him off to a hidden away place and have beat the hell out of him. Nobody said anything. You can't quite get away with that today.
Yeah, and I think today you also have, you know, maybe some shady stuff that takes place as far as recruiting and kids not going to class and kids maybe looking forward to the NFL. And maybe not putting in a full effort in the classroom, whereas back in those days, those kids were students and athletes, whereas today, they're just athletes. I'm not so sure I'd say Nick Saban is better than Bear Bryant, but I'm not so sure I'd say Bear Bryant is better than Nick Saban. I'd just say you really can't compare because the eras are completely different. Now today, it's Nick Saban and everyone else, pretty much like it's Alabama and everyone else, but I think Dabo's made a name for himself. I do think Chris Peterson will be back in this playoff. Probably next year. I haven't looked at their schedule, but you know, there's guys who can give them a run for their money. I mean, let's remember, Kyle Whittingham took Alabama to the woodshed and curb stomped them in the Sugar Bowl a couple years ago. Urban Meyer, he won a Fiesta Bowl with Utah. Nick Saban's yet to prove to me that he could win with a smaller school. He's always been a guy.
Mags, I got to cut you off. Nick Saban has absolutely rebuilt the juggernaut that used to be Alabama.
Juggernaut.
Well, but the point is, for years, Alabama was not respected. They disappeared from the national scene for a while.
Yeah, but so did. The thing is, once the BCS came into play, the SEC came into play.
Oh, you know, come on. Look who he has to recruit against. Look at the schools and the teams. I mean, Alabama, yeah, it's a big name. But you got to recruit against Florida. You got to recruit against so many other great schools. LSU, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. I mean, schools that have great tradition and historicity. Alabama's one of them. But I'm just telling you right now, there's no way I'm going to take it away from Nick Saban and say, because he's coaching in Alabama, they win at this clip. Nobody's ever won like this. Well, Bear Bryant did not win like this. This is uncanny. This guy is about to win back-to-back national titles. It's so much harder today to do that than it was in the past. And because so many people, as you mentioned, declare. So I got some thoughts for you right now. And I want to stay on this with Nick Saban and talk about the, you know, coaches. And we'll not stay on it right now, but we'll get to it. But the whole playoff system, Magnum, I've been screaming since, I'll say, mid-November that this season has pointed out why why all of, after 3 years, I am disenchanted with a four-team playoff, and I am ready to see eight teams. I think this has been the case of it. You need the five power conference champions and three at-large bids, so you're more like the NCAA tournament. And let me tell you the benefits of this. Let's think about how great this would be for a minute, okay? How about this? If there is, you add these playoff games, how much more revenue comes into play for college football? A great deal. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you get a great deal more revenue. How about these players that, I'm not going to say they're prima donnas because they're risking millions of dollars by continuing to play college football. But how about this? If now, if you've got these bowl games and you've got an eight-game playoff, and one other thing, the top players that are supposed to go in the NFL draft might still play in the bowl games if you had the 18 playoff, but here's how they would for sure, and this is what I'm going to lobby. I'm adding something to my list that I am going to now step out for and say has to happen. I'm going to form a bandwagon, and I'm going to lobby to postpone Heisman Trophy voting until after bowl games are concluded. Nothing pisses me off more than watching a great bowl game like an LSU and not seeing a Leonard Fournette run the football. It's aggravating to me. Now, they didn't need him. But the point is, these players are sitting out because they know they're top-round draft picks. Now, Mags, everyone out there, call me. Give me a call. Talk to me about it if you want. It's 876-1340. I'd love to hear your opinion. But if the Heisman Trophy voting came after the bowl games right now, how many people would change their opinion on Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson? Right?
I wouldn't, because to me, a bowl game outside of the playoff is meaningless.
Oh, come on.
It's irrelevant.
Mags, the magnitude of the playoffs is enormous, okay? And now you've got bowl games that are leading up to national championships, but again, they're bigger. They're going to play harder. They mean more. These players are going to play in these games. And again, if you've got a guy playing in the Sun Bowl, and he has a shot at the Heisman Trophy, if he can put up ridiculous numbers in a bowl game, he's going to play instead of sit out.
You know, where I'm going to disagree with you on that is Jake Butt. He was the tight end of the year,
okay.
won the award for the best tight end in the country. He's rated as the number one or number two tight end of the country. He suffered a serious knee injury in the Orange Bowl. Guess what happens to his draft stock? He lost millions of dollars because he played in a stupid, meaningless bowl game. Now, I get that you have...
Oh, come on. The Orange Bowl is now stupid and meaningless.
It's meaningless because it doesn't... You get to raise a trophy. Big deal. You're
Mags,
not playing
do you know
for
how
a
much
national
money
title.
Each of those schools get?
But how much are those players getting?
But the bottom line is that school is just giving you a scholarship and put you on the map and basically set you in the NFL, and they need you in this bowl game.
Yeah, but Jake Butt
the bottom line is, I still don't believe Jabril Peppers was that hurt. I think he just didn't want to come out and say, I'm not going to play for the money that I'm about to get. And he doesn't play in that game, and that hurt them tremendously.
Well, you had the kid from Notre Dame last year, blew out his knee. Went from a first-round pick
Millions. We talked about Sam Bradford earlier, what he did by staying a senior year, but it still ended up a number one pick.
That was good for the Lions.
Right? But what I'm saying, again, I just feel that it's a total body of work. Louisville struggled mightily down the stretch. They did.
Yeah.
They're barely a top 25 team after the loss. The beating they just took. A beating that saw Lamar Jackson play terrible. Okay, hardly put up a quarterback game. Wait, 30 yards on like, I don't know, I wrote it down here how many carries he had, but it was ridiculous the numbers he put up in that game. And that's a big game for him. Believe me, he wasn't playing soft in that game. He was trying. I'm just saying, after that game, when you look at the whole body of work, I'm going to say Deshaun Watson is the best collegiate player in the country. Well, he didn't put up astronomical numbers. He had an under 80% rating, but two touchdowns on the ground, one in the air. He did throw a couple of picks. Okay, he did. But when he had to play well, he did. He complimented his defense. And again, I think people start rethinking the Heisman voting if they can wait till after the bowl games.
Well, I don't have a vote, obviously, but I would have voted for Deshaun Watson from the beginning for the very simple fact that, A, Clemson beat Louisville when they played. And I look at the way Lamar Jackson played in the big games that Louisville played. He was great against Florida State, but he wasn't so great against Clemson. He was awful against Houston. My vote would have gone to Deshaun Watson. The very fact that in the big games that Clemson played, Deshaun Watson was better in the big games than Lamar Jackson
was. He was. He didn't even his worst game wasn't terrible. This guy has done it consistently over two seasons. It's damn impressive to be the Heisman runner-up 2 years in a row to two different people. And I think Deshaun Watson will make a fine NFL player if he stays healthy. His style of play is not really conducive for the National Football League, but he has a good head on his shoulders. He seems to be a great kid. Just hope he doesn't come out and be another RG3. But here's the thing. All this, Mags, is leading up to, and I want to take a break here in a minute, something for us to ponder while we go to break. If you postpone the Heisman Trophy voting, listen to this, Mags. You postpone it until after the bowl games. You add four more teams to the college football playoffs. Now you can open up the discussion to start stipending college athletes. And if you don't know what that means paying them. And I've been saying it for years because I will tell you right now, do I think Johnny Manziel was ever going to be a great football player? I don't know. I thought he had the talent. When I see what Doug Flutie did and the body of work he put over his career here and in Canada, I felt, yes, Johnny Manziel could have been a all-pro player and maybe even down the road a Hall of Fame player, that he had that much natural physical ability. Here's the deal. What started him on a trend downward was the popularity, everyone talking about him, and also signing things in college and letting everyone know about it. And why did he do that? Now, granted, his family had money, unlike a lot of other players that don't. But if they were paying him, he probably wouldn't have done it. Maybe he would. He's a jerk. Maybe he would have anyways.
He probably would have. Him, bad example, because he probably would have.
But the point is, a lot of these guys, some of these guys want to stay in school. They want to get a degree for their family, but they can't afford to take the chance. If you're paying these kids so they can be heroes on their college campus and have money and drive a Mercedes in college because everything's paid for. So if you get $2,500 or $3,000 a month, you can have a Mercedes Benz. You can drive around college. Mags, do you know what it's like even at small colleges to be the stud quarterback at your college?
Oh, yeah.
Or the star wide receiver, running back, the center, point guard. The perks are unbelievable. Wink, wink. So, again, this is something I've been on for ages, stipending college athletes. I am sorry. When I see people in bookstores at the universities, let alone around the world on websites and every sporting goods stores, the stars jerseys are being sold for top dollar, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got athletic directors walking around at the Power Five conferences making seven-figure incomes. What are they doing to earn those incomes? Hiring a good coach? Maybe. But the point is, these college players are getting ripped off and screwed. They get a scholarship. I've argued this with so many people. I understand that. But so much more is being made by that university off of these star athletes. How you got to stipend them, that's something that would be open for discussion. A set salary, do you stipend starters different than you stipend relievers? Do you have a base for starters? I don't know any of that right now. That's something that would have to be figured out. My point is, if you extended the playoffs and if you extended the voting for the Heisman Trophy, you are talking a lot more revenue being generated by college football. And this opens up the conversation for stipending football players. And I think it's something that needs to take place. We got to take a break. We'll come back. A lot more to talk about. We definitely got to talk about that rematch between Alabama and Clemson, what we think is going to go on. I've got the NFL playoffs around the corner. Was going to give Emily Van Buskirk a call, but I'm letting her sleep on New Year's. Next Sunday, we'll talk to her before the day before the national championship game when we're a lot more, when we are a little bit more ready for that. You got Fact This coming up, which is going to be pretty exciting today. Ronda Rousey, you might want to stay tuned. If you're awake, I doubt it. You're probably planning your film in Hollywood or something with all the money you just unjustly deserved. But we'll talk about that a little. Not unjustly, unjustly got. You didn't deserve. Blazing UNLV, as Mags mentioned, a big, huge win yesterday against Wyoming. I got to go with John Von Tobel. I did the post-game show, Rebel Extra, a lot of fun. So all that's coming up. And again, we are going to be giving away a seat to the $10,000 guaranteed buy-in at Binion's a little bit down the road. The number to call, 702-876-1300. 1340. I'm Brian. He's Mags. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio. Happy New Year! Out of Line, I'm Brian. He's Magnum. We're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. Give me a call. If you got something to add, you want to just say Happy New Year. There's a lot of stuff to talk about today. 702-876-1340. Is the number to call, and we're talking a little bit about the college football playoffs right now. And let's get back into it again. The rematch, you know, we just saw Dabo Swinney flat out, out coach, and for that matter, shut out Urban Meyer for the first time in his coaching career. He hung tooth and nail with Nick Saban in last year's championship game. Can Dabo do a little better this time around? Only based on tenure and accomplishment, Alabama gets the coaching edge, but it's not by a wide margin. Not sure that Alabama's defense is that much better than Clemson's defense. I'm going to call that a wash. But I know for a fact that Clemson has the better quarterback, and that is not even close. Not going to bet the game, but if I did, I would have some balls and take Clemson now on the money line. The opening line from Westgate Las Vegas Sportsbook is Alabama -7. I wouldn't put more than a couple hundred on it, but I don't think anyone would be blown away if Clemson wins this game. And my feeling is that if it's a close game, Clemson will win. My early prediction, the Crimson Tide 24, Clemson 13. But I could change my mind by next Sunday.
Yeah, we do have a week. We have the luxury of having two shows before that game next Monday. I think Alabama, they are by far and away the best team in the country. I'm not saying Clemson can't beat them. I just don't think they will. I think Alabama's going to win. They've been waiting for this game for a long time. I think, and honestly, I think Alabama's going to have a chip on their shoulder because Nick Saban's going to motivate these guys by saying, hey, look, last year, Deshaun Watson went up and down the field on us, did whatever he wanted. It's now a pride thing for Alabama and Nick Saban to shut him down. I think it's going to be a blowout, and I don't even know if Clemson's going to be able to hang with them. I mean, it may be over by the end of the first quarter. I think Alabama's going to win like 44-14.
See, Mags, the reason I don't is only if Alabama's defense is scoring and Deshaun Watson's not having the success he had last year. I think Clemson's defense, there's no way they're giving 44 points up to this Alabama team. I mean, I'll tell you what, Bo Scarborough is the real deal. I mean, he's scary good. He's got more time to go, and it's scary to think how good this guy's going to be. When he opened up and he got in the open field, and even in a broken field, he ran real good against a Washington defense that's no joke. But Washington's defense is not Clemson's defense. And I learned that yesterday, and I'll tell you right now, 44 points, like I'm saying Alabama. I thought I was going on a limb by saying they're going to get 24. You got them scoring almost three more touchdowns. I'm not going to say I'd be just fall off my chair if that happened. I can't see Clemson getting blown out. I don't see it being, like I said, if it's a close game, I think Clemson's going to win it. If it's a blowout or over 7 points, obviously Alabama's going to win it.
Well, and the thing is, Alabama hasn't played too many close games. Basically, I think they've won 25 in a row. And they haven't played too many close games in that stretch. So if it is close, the pressure certainly is on Alabama. And in an area they are not familiar with, then they'll probably be a little uncomfortable because the pressure will certainly be something that they'll have to deal with. I just think it's the kind of game where Alabama could be up 21-0 at the end of the first quarter and then basically just put it in cruise control. I could be wrong. I hope I am because I'd love to see Clemson win. My brother was a big Clemson fan, believe it or not. Kid from New Jersey somehow liked Clemson. Can't explain it, but I just don't see it. I just don't see Alabama for them. This is a coronation, and I think they're going to make a statement in this game that they are, without question, the best college football program in the world.
Well, they are, Mags, and do you know, you were absolutely right. Only one team this year has been within 7 points of Alabama. Any idea who that is? They're an old thorn in the side.
Yeah, was it Auburn?
No. The Manning family has
Ole Miss. Ole Miss.
Oh. Ole Miss back in September, 48-43.
And I believe Ole Miss was the last team to beat Alabama too, if I'm not mistaken.
You're not mistaken, and that's the, you know, but you're right. Alabama has not played a lot of close games. I just think the intangible. When you've got maybe the best collegiate player in the country, people might argue that it's Jabril Peppers.
No, I think Watson is the best player in the country.
But if you think you've got that, and he's the quarterback, I don't see this team getting blown out. I think if anybody can figure out a way to score on Alabama's defense, Dabo Sweeney can with the team he's got together. And last year they figured out a way to score on Alabama's defense. Granted, it might be a little bit better. You have at least 7 guys on this defense that are going to be top 3 draft picks in the National Football League, will make the teams and be starters. I mean, this Alabama team is absolutely stacked. But Clemson probably has between offensive, defense, seven guys that are going to play in the NFL as well on that team. I mean, this is no slouch. And before we hop over to the National Football League and get through the rest of the show, something else we got to take into account. We're sitting here talking about comparing Nick Saban and saying if he wins this game, he'll be the greatest coach of all time. We're talking about old school coaches like Bear Bryant. Let me tell you right now, it's time, people. It's time. Dabo Swinney has turned Clemson. Clemson University is a national football powerhouse. You got to say it. And you got to give Dabo Swinney his dues. Like I said, he just coached the crap out of Urban Meyer. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. He coached him right down to the ground. And so you can't say Urban Meyer is better than Dabo Swinney. Most people say Urban Meyer is the second best coach in the country behind Nick Saban. So where does that leave Dabo Swinney?
He is, without question, probably not a guy you think of off the top of your head, but he, as you said, has turned Clemson into a powerhouse. And since he's been there, they've had some really good players, not just this season. I mean, Sammy Watkins is a Clemson guy. The quarterback before Deshaun Watson was really good. So they've had some pretty good college football players. I think it's safe to say that right now Clemson is playing their best football of the season. They started out a little sluggish. They struggled against Auburn. They did win that game. They struggled against Troy. Then they got it going a little bit, and then they lost the game to Pitt. And since that Pitt loss, outside of the Virginia Tech game in the ACC championship, they have been blowing people out. I mean, they blew out Wake Forest, who won a bowl game. They absolutely annihilated South Carolina 56-7. Virginia Tech game, they got out to a big lead. Virginia Tech made a little bit of a comeback. But Clemson right now is playing. I think it worked out the way it should, because I do think Clemson is the second best team in the country. Alabama's number one. We're going to get number one versus number two. This is what we've all wanted. I think every college football fan wanted a rematch because they wanted to see if Deshaun Watson could go up and down the field on Alabama again. I'm excited. I'm more excited for this national championship game than one I've been for in a while, only because I want to see if Deshaun Watson can do what he did last year.
Well, it'll be interesting. And Mags, you know, you talked about Virginia Tech and that being somewhat of a close game. You know, it was basically a one-touchdown game, 42-35 in the ACC championship game. But you know what? Virginia Tech is definitely no slouch. I am so impressed with Justin Fuente. I can't even tell you. This guy has just stepped right in. I mean, Beamer made Virginia Tech what it is. But Justin Fuente, what a great successor to Beamer. I mean, this guy is as good as it gets. He was great at University of Memphis from 2012 to 2015, and he said, I wouldn't have left. He likes a little town, and Virginia Tech just fit in perfectly. It's a small town. He can fit right in with his family. He'll make a lot of money, and Virginia Tech is going to remain a powerful entity in college football for some time to come. It'll leave me vexed. Listen, we got to take a break. We got to take our second break. We'll come back. I do want to talk a little bit about the NFL. We got Fact This coming up. Mags and I will give you our picks blazing, and we definitely want to squeeze in some UNLV talk because it was an impressive thing they did yesterday at the Thomas and Mack against Wyoming. Out of line, Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
You better watch your step.
It's apropos, Mags. It's apropos. I like it. Fact This. That's our new segment, man, and we will get it sponsored. It's about something that's a fact. And this is my opinion about that fact. Put it together. Fact this. We're talking people that I think are overpaid. I'm only going to talk about two of them. I don't want to be too brutal on the first day of our new year where we're trying to be positive. Not too harsh. The Belk Bowl took place recently. Arkansas playing in that game versus Virginia Tech, a team we were just talking about. Lost in the ACC championship game to, at worst case scenario, the national runner-up if they lose to Alabama and Clemson. But you know what you don't know about Arkansas in the Virginia Tech game, if you didn't watch it, and I did? Arkansas was winning that game 24-0 at halftime. That's right. The game ended 35-24 Virginia Tech. 35 unanswered points all in the second half. But what's curious about that, if you go back to the last game of the season for Arkansas, of course, there's no championship in the Big 12. They wouldn't have been in it anyways. But they played Missouri, and they were up, ironically, 24-0 at halftime. 21-0 at halftime. The game ended 28-21. Missouri. Very, very similar in stature, those two games. And the common denominator is, where is halftime adjustments? How does a team lay down Magnum? I watched that game from front to back, cover to cover. I watched two different teams play that game. I saw this Arkansas team come out in the first half, dominating on both sides of the ball. Shut out Virginia Tech, a good football team. And in the second half, I don't know who the hell was wearing the Razorbacks uniform. Might have been Tony Sanchez's UNLV team. I'm sorry. I don't want to tell Joseph's bad humor. But I'm just saying, this team that came out in the second, and the same thing happened in the last game of the Big 12 season when Arkansas played Missouri. We said that the odd fact this was a couple people overpaid. Do you know that Bielema, right?
Brett Bielema.
Bielema, strange name. He is the highest paid state employee in the state of Arkansas, making $4.1 million a year as the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. In his 4 years at Arkansas, his record, 25-26. He has won two bowl games, so he's 2-1 in bowl games. I'll give him that, and they're nice bowl wins, too. However, $4.1 million in 4 years, you are one game under 500. And the way it went at the end of this season for the Razorbacks, and to lose the way that they did in the final regular season game and in the bowl game, the Belk Bowl, wow, is all I can say. $4.1 million, Mags, that's about $4 million. I'll say $3 million too much, in my opinion. Also, someone that's overpaid, and I don't want to give this a lot of play. I said I wasn't going to because she already made way too much money. I don't even want to talk about this debacle. But Ronda Rousey ripped off the world Friday night in Las Vegas. She ripped off the world. 48 seconds, she was pounded into oblivion. 27 punches landed by Amanda Nunes. It was sickening. It was disgusting. She didn't want to be there. Maybe she didn't screw her boyfriend the night before because she said that's one of her pre-fight rituals. Maybe she doesn't have a boyfriend. I don't know. All I know is it was pathetic. And anyone that paid $60 to watch that pay-per-view, and especially anyone who paid to watch that debacle in the octagon Friday night, should get their money back. It was disgusting. It was repulsive. And she's walking away with probably, when it's all said and done, $3 million base, probably about $6 million after they get done dividing up the TV revenue. Wow. Fact this. Exactly. And this is about as nice as you can put it. What Amanda Nunes said after the fight. Some advice to Ronda Rousey. You don't need to keep doing this. Well, I should add to that. You shouldn't have done it at all. You should have stayed away 13 months off to come and rip us off. I'm sorry, Rhonda. Yes, you're an attractive lady, especially for a game like the UFC. But you absolutely opened up your butt cheeks and crapped on all of us on Friday night. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be.
Well, you know, and it was the kind of thing where, and my buddy Ballpark Frank, of course, you can hear him sometimes on this station, of course, across the hall on ESPN as well. I was in the belief that Rousey was focused. She was going to show up and fight. She had a chip on her shoulder. And he kept saying, she's taking acting classes. She could be acting like that. Let's see how she reacts the first time she takes one in the grill. Well, she put her tail between her legs and took it took a beating.
Mags, I don't want to be. Please don't look at this as a sexist statement because it's not. She took it like a girl, okay? And you are talking about the UFC Ultimate Fighting Challenge. Ultimate Fighting Championship. Mags, the bottom line is, when I say that, what I'm meaning is, you don't think of women in this brutality of a sport like this. We do now, we see him, but Ronda Rousey has been something special. She has been something unique. And again, I put way too much time into Ronda Rousey, and I'm done with it. So let's move on, brother. We got something else we got to talk about here. We got Blazing coming up. Do we got some This Is Why I'm Hot? All right, there we go. We got to get through this. I got to get to the NFL and UNLV, and we got about 8 minutes left in the show. You know, Blazin' is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day. There is no place in America better for wings, beer, and sports. And, of course, during football season, I'm up there every Monday night partying away. Chris Wynn joins me sometimes up there. We have a great time. Come on up and see us. I should be up there next Monday night for the national championship, and hopefully we might be doing our show live on Super Bowl Sunday as well. We'll let you know. But Blazing, right now, I'm going to say the UNLV basketball team for the big win against Wyoming, sending off 2016 the best way they possibly could and staying above 500, which at least took some of the sting out of the fact that I had to miss most of the Alabama-Washington game and the first quarter of the Ohio State-Clemson game to see it. So I'm happy that I got that. And you know what? I'm going to do a co-blazing today. My co-blazing is going to go to Out-of-Line producer Chris Magnum Chapman. My producer and my friend, Mags, no way Tom Selleck knows soccer or rocks a bucket hat half as good as you, brother. Happy New Year. And even though I have no power to grant you a raise, I can, will, and now have made you blazing to start 2017.
That's pretty awesome. I'm very grateful and very, very humbled by being mentioned in the same breath as the UNLV basketball team. But my blazing, I'm going to go back to the UFC fight card on Friday night, UFC 207. Cody Garbrandt, he was the fifth-rated contender coming in. A lot of people felt he was a little too young, a little too unpolished to get in the ring with the great Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz, of course, the champion, one of my favorite fighters. Garbrandt basically imposed his will on Dominic Cruz, mocked him multiple times in the ring, gloated in a way, actually got down and did a push-up in the middle of the fight. He was mocking Cruz so bad. I wasn't a fan of that because I always want to see a guy get knocked out when he does something like that. But he proved me wrong. I thought for sure Cruz would be in his head, would take the win, and would basically do whatever he wanted to against Garbrandt. I eat my words because Garbrandt kicked Dominic Cruz's ass. Did not see that coming. And congratulations to the new champ, Cody Garbrandt. And he's blazing. He is definitely blazing after that performance.
Was it all bad in the UFC? Blazing brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day. America's place for wings, beer, and sports. And again, during football season, every night, Monday night, we are up there celebrating Monday Night Football. Listen, we got to fly through these next segments quickly in the National Football League. Of course, today is the end of the National Football League. It'll all culminate tonight, I believe, with the Detroit-Green Bay game for all the marbles in the NFC North Division. Mags, I came down with this before. Do we have this, right? Do you have it?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, go ahead. This is me on December the 9th.
At New York to play the Giants, at Dallas for the final Monday night game of the season, and they finish the season at home against the Green Bay Packers, which I'll bet somehow is going to be for the NFC North Division crown and just to go to the playoffs. And, man, I don't want it to come down to that. I don't want it to come down to that, but it probably will.
It probably will, and it did, and it is, and I just hope they can get through this one. I mean, the bottom line is, I've said this all week talking to friends about this game. No arguments here. If the Lions are truly a playoff contending team and a team that contends for anything, they need to win this game. It's at home. It's against Green Bay. They play this team twice a year, every year. They've had as much experience playing against Aaron Rodgers as anybody out there. Their defense is stout, a little bit beat up in the secondary. But who at this point in the NFL season is not beat up? The Lions need to win this game. If they win, they win the NFC North. An outside shot. San Francisco's not going to beat Seattle. But if somehow Seattle loses and Atlanta loses, in Detroit won, they'd actually get the number 2 seed. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just praying that the Washington Redskins lose today, and that way the Lions are in either way. Somebody said, would you rather have them back in? I don't give a crap if they back in. I want them in the playoffs. And the second thing is, I heard a moron on the radio saying today, because if the Lions and the Packers tie,
they're both in automatically. Yeah. Somebody said if they get to the overtime, do you think it's going to be a handshake between Mike McCarthy and James Caldwell saying, let's just tie? Hell no! What an idiot comment! Do you know if they tie, the Packers get a home field, a home game, playoff game, and the Lions are the sixth seed in the playoffs and head to Seattle. There is no way in hell that Jim Caldwell's making a team like that.
A minute and 54 seconds! A minute and 54 seconds! Let's go.
Get that out of your head. Washington wins. They're in, provided. I think there's one scenario if they win. Oh, if Green Bay and Detroit doesn't tie, Washington's in if they win. Tampa Bay, there's way too much to discuss. They need, like, they basically need Jesus Christ to come down and walk on water again for that team to get into the playoffs, although they're still alive. Not going to waste my time with the scenarios. And, of course, the big over in the AFC trying to decide who's going to be the 2 seed and who's going to be the 5th seed. Oakland wins. They're the 2 seed. They lose, and Kansas City wins. Oakland jumps down to the 5th seed. What a tragedy. With Derek Carr going out to a broken tibia last week. Anyways, we're out of time, but I want to say UNLV, we got to talk about UNLV real quickly here. What a game yesterday against Wyoming in their home opener of the Mountain West Conference. Of course, they lost Wednesday night at Colorado State, 81-75. UNLV only didn't have a lead early in the game. Still some errant three-point shots, still a lackluster point guard play, but they won. And they're 8-7. They are 1-1 in the Mountain West Conference. They play again against Dunkin' Donuts on Wednesday night. Make sure when you're out there, yell Dunkin' Donuts. He'll flip off the crowd like he did at Utah State. Nick Duncan, of course.
Maybe bring some boxes with you.
The big fella for, well, he's just a big fella for Boise State, but he can hit threes. Listen, this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m., Fox Sports Radio, 1340 KRLV. I'm Brian Feldman. He's Magnum. Happy New Year, everyone. Please recover well. Some great playoffs. Enjoy the NFL. We'll be back next week. I'll probably have Emily Van Buskirk on to talk NCAA championship game. And we'll start talking college basketball. We got to start talking NBA and NHL. All that stuff soon as football season winds down. Out of line, out of time. We'll see you next week.